And welcome back to the Odd Man Rush, our NHL podcast here at CBSSports.com. I'd like to welcome Aaron Brown and Wes Goldstein. How's everybody doing?
Good. How you doing?
Okay.
All right. Did you have a good weekend?
Indeed.
All right. So let's get right back into it. We're continuing our series of previewed podcasts for each division. And we're on our final division. Final division.
Yeah.
The North
only six.
And I lose track of, especially when we do the days we've done. We've done more. So, all right. So we're talking the Northeast Division, and you know it's arguably the division that's had the most change when it comes to big news, big stars moving. We have Heatley leaving. We had the Kessel trade scenario. So let's talk a little bit about the changeover that's gone on in the Northeast Division. Wes?
Well, it certainly could change the dynamics for some teams. You look at teams like Ottawa that lost Danny Heatley
right. And
brought in a couple of guys from San Jose, Chichu and McCulloch. This is potentially a game changer for them, only in the sense that they're losing a big-time scorer, but they're also changing the dynamics of their room, which I think needed some change. So
right.
I think the positives are there. They're going to have Pascal Leclerc as well for this season. I mean, they picked him up last year at the deadline.
Sure.
He didn't play because of injuries. So I think you're looking at a team there that has potential to improve a great deal. Then you have the Boston Bruins, who were basically backed into the corner with Phil Kessel and had to trade him. I don't know necessarily that they're going to suffer because of that. They did well in the sense they got back, you know, quality draft picks, a couple of first-rounders and a second-rounder, so they did well. But he's going within the division. Toronto needed some offense, and I think that's going to be an interesting scenario. I don't know how that's going to play right away. He's not going to be ready probably till late November to recover some shoulder surgery.
Sure.
But, you know, I think you're going to look at a situation there where, I was telling this to Aaron before, I think you have two players that are going to be questionable because it's Kessel, as good a scorer as he is, he doesn't have the setup man he had in Boston with Savard.
Right.
Savard, I believe, is in his contract year. He's not going to have somebody to finish those passes. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And there's Montreal, which I'll let Aaron take because they've gone through a couple of changes themselves.
Well, actually, it's funny because I was thinking of, as far as changeover, you have Kovalev in Ottawa. And, you know, the changeover in Montreal as well. So there's more change intradivisionally, I guess. Is that
that's
one?
The word.
you know, between the Senators and the Canadiens. It's funny because, you know, to change the chemistry in Montreal, they felt the need to get rid of Kovalev with some of the, you know, fiasco there was last year with him not playing well and, you know, were playing well when he felt like it, telling him to go home and sit, and then they bring him in Ottawa, which is also funny because they were getting rid of Heatley. So,
well, I think to be honest, in the Kovalev deal, I mean, the incidents that happened last year were certainly, you know, not his finest moment. But the truth, I think, it was more a money issue with Canadians. Kovalev, he wanted 2 years; they didn't want to give him 2 years, so he ended up with Ottawa. But
But that dynamic, I mean, with, you know, bringing, you know, trying to get rid of some, you know, bad chemistry, bringing someone in.
Oh, yeah, they went
had
through a
some
lot of
issues
changes.
With, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, with Montreal, it seems like they're – I remember we were talking last year about how Bob Gainey felt he was on a five-year plan, and obviously the 5 years is up, and it seems like a total rebuild. But it, to some degree, it reminds me of how the Rangers used to be before the salary cap era, where it was, who's out there, who can we get, who can we sign, who can we trade for, and that's kind of what they did, because it wasn't just Camilleri and Gianta that they signed, and then Gomez that they brought
Gomez,
in.
Right.
And they also, it was Spashek, I believe, they brought in.
Hal Gill.
The first few days of free agency, it was all Montreal signs.
And then, you know, bringing in Jacques Martin, I don't know how much that's going to help them.
That sounds like a bitter Florida Panther fan.
No, it's not. It's definitely not bitter at all. I mean, I think
as a Florida Panther fan, she's probably delighted.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think he was a terrible GM. If I had to grade his era as a GM, I'd give it a solid B.
Well, certainly above his era as a coach.
Definitely. Well, you didn't even let me get to it. Yes, but definitely he was better as a GM than he was as a coach. So I'm not quite sure what they're looking to get out of, you know, Martin.
Well, they're looking to change. As we mentioned at the top, this is a change division. The only team that really didn't go through much of a change is Buffalo. And, you know, you wonder, I mean, their personnel moves basically, you know, this is an organization that's really as steady as she goes. I mean,
exactly.
Lindy Ruff and Darcy Regier have been there since, before the law? Well before. It's been at least 10, 11 years for both of them now. Longest tenured, coach and GM right now in the NHL. And, you know, they basically have a very steady approach to things. They bring players up. They don't spend a lot of money. They're very careful with how they do things. And they always stay around the bubble playoff-wise. And, you know, if they get lucky, they stay healthy, they're a playoff team. But probably not, you know, their window of opportunity to me, it seems, you know, for the Stanley Cup was there right after the lockout.
Yeah, the first year especially.
I think they probably could have beaten Carolina had they not lost four of their six defensemen for the Game 7. But that year and the next year, I think, were the windows of opportunity. Once the team started breaking up after that, when Briere left and Drury left, I think, you know, really you're looking at kind of a holding pattern, which is kind of a middle-of-the-road team. So they probably needed to make changes more than anybody else, but they didn't. So.
And for all the change that has happened, they might be better off because
could
of
be,
it.
Could be. You know, what's that bird in the hand, two in the bush type of deal?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's go. I mean, I know we've hit on these teams already, and pretty much gone. we've gone right through them. But let's take a deeper dive. And you know, the one thing that sticks out with the Kessel deal from Boston to Toronto, and as was mentioned, that it was a move within the division, and you don't often see that. Was Boston just that much against the ropes that they had no choice but to, you know, basically trade to a neighbor?
I believe so. I think what was happening is that, you know, Burke targeted Kessel from day one in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was an attempt to get him by trade, and Caberly's name was thrown around in the draft.
Right.
That didn't work out. Then there was all this talk about him signing him to an offer sheet. That never happened. Burke had to get his ducks in a row before he could do that. He needed to get a second-round draft pick back from Chicago, which he only got back in August, I believe, and that set him up. At that point, the pressure was really on. But the reality is, Burke targeted Kessel. I think Kessel wanted to be out of Boston to a certain extent. I think there was a certain effort on both their parts to make it happen. And certainly, when Kessel was at the Team USA orientation camp, he wasn't skating, but he was there, and Burke was there. They had a lot of chance to talk.
Sure.
And as I was mentioning to Aaron earlier, that it was. I found it really surprising when I spoke to him at one point during the camp, and I asked him about, you know, whether or not he was uncomfortable with not having a contract. He smiled and laughed. He was like, "Yeah, don't worry, something's going to get done. I'm not worried." So, you know, I guess he had a feeling this was going to happen. And push came to shove, I think, had a lot to do, you know, again, getting close to the season, the salary cap issues. But I think Boston felt they were getting into a situation where they were backs up against the wall,
right.
And they did actually better in the trade than they would have. Burke offered an offer sheet. They got an extra first-round pick out of it. So they have five picks in the first two rounds in this coming draft, and it's a good draft year. So
one question I have for you then is with regards to Kessel not or wanting to leave Boston, was it just financially motivated that he wanted to leave Boston because he knew that he couldn't get what he was looking for? Or, I mean, because he had success there and he, you know, was playing with a great centerman, one of the best passers in the NHL in Savard. So what would be the motivation to leave outside of money? Or was it just strictly that he wanted out of Boston because he knew he wouldn't get what he was looking for financially?
Well, I think the money certainly had a lot to do with it because the Bruins really wanted to pay him what they were paying David Krejci. They re-signed him to, I think, a five-year deal averaging out about $3.75 a year. Mm-hmm. And that's where they wanted to pay these guys. Krejci's the same age as Kessel. And
right.
Although Kessel has a little bigger numbers, Krejci looked really good last year, and he's a player. They want to keep him. So they want. This is the level they want to keep the second contracts at for those players. Kessel wanted more. That was part of it. But I think a lot of it had to do with Kessel's own desire maybe to get out. I think there were some issues, obviously, going back a couple of playoffs with Claude Julien. He didn't dress
right.
a couple of games,
right.
and Julien was on him more about his defense from time to time. He tried to make him a better player, and I think he did. But I think there's certain times when you see an opportunity to get out. You know, all those things kind of came together, the money and, you know, getting away from a coach, maybe wanting to change the scenery, that all played in.
And how long was the – what did he sign for in terms of
– five years.
5 years,
right?
27
yeah.
million.
Okay.
20, yeah, 27.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever,
yeah,
five. Yeah.
So he'll have at least a long time to determine whether he likes it in Toronto or not
yeah.
and see what happens there.
that determination will be helped by a lot of people.
Exactly. So moving on to Toronto, talking about, you know, being light down the middle or certainly not having someone of Savard's caliber, who are the players you think that are going to be capable of giving Kessel chances to score?
Well, there is no Savard there. Grabowski had an okay season last year. Honestly, when you look at Toronto, there's just not the guys up the middle. You know, Stajan, I don't know that he's going to be a guy. I know they're expecting more out of John Mitchell. Don't know that he's going to be the guy. It's going to be, I think, a lot of just experimenting, see who he has chemistry with off the bat, and you know that's probably the best they can do, or go out and make another deal, which I might throw back at Wes for some other ideas.
Well, first of all, I mean, he's not going to play till the end, like mid the end of November. I mean,
sure.
He's got to come back, so that's one thing.
Right.
And I think Burke and Coach Ron Wilson have said themselves they don't necessarily expect to find, you know, the center to play with him this year within the current mix, unless they make a deal. But the reality is, Toronto needs more offense. That's clear from last season. What they really have to do is improve the defense, and that's really where they made the focus of their offseason. You know, Beauchemin, Mike Komisarek, they kept Caberly, you know, and they brought in a backup goalie, this guy Gustafsson, Jonas Gustafsson, who underwent some minor heart surgery last week. But, you know, they're saying that's minor, so I don't know how minor heart surgery ever is.
I
mean, Ron Wilson would say, yeah, it's one of those.
Is there a minor brain
surgery? Yeah, exactly, routine thing. So that, you know, but they are clearly looking to improve from the back end out. And, you know, the thing is with Toronto and the situation with Burke, he's not opposed to making bold moves. Training camp is basically over. They're heading into the regular season. He has, the kind of organization that used to spend $80 million on payroll and now can't spend more than 56, and yet they haven't reduced ticket prices. They've actually raised them. So there's a lot of money. There's a lot of potential to eat salaries if they have to clear it to help out another team out that's not going anywhere that has to dump some salaries. So it depends, where they are. Basically, mid-season towards the Olympic break, the deadline. If they're close enough, I wouldn't be surprised to see this team make really dramatic moves and maybe dump salary or bury it in the minors where they can afford to and get it off their books and do something. So, I think that's the route they're going to take. I don't think they're looking for anybody necessarily to step up. Well, this kid Tyler Bozak, they signed late last year out of Notre Dame. Is he a Notre Dame player, Bozak? No, that was Christian Hansen came under the name.
All right, so sticking with Toronto, how far away, talking about centerman, is a guy like Nadri from making it to the NHL, do you think?
Well, he's had a pretty good preseason, and I think he knew going in he was going to have to impress and outplay some of the his NHL peers to make the team. Burke is really, really high on him, obviously. I can see him doing at least the 8-9 games?
9 games, yeah.
Doing at least that.
You think Kadri will get that much time?
Well, there's,
because he has to go back to...
He
can't go to the AHL.
Right. Yeah, he would have to go back to juniors. And I think it's 9 games you can play, and it doesn't count against the contract
for
1 year. So, I mean, I could see them doing that, kind of like the Blues did last year with Pietrangelo. Might as well give him the chance.
Sure.
I think that, not having Kessel in the lineup right away, you might as well give him some time at the NHL, see how he does. Maybe he really is, solid, can play there. And they don't have any expectations playoff-wise, although I think that may change a little having Kessel in the mix and an improved defense.
Oh, I think they have visions of a Stanley Cup parade in Toronto. They do every
year. They do
year.
Every year.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
But you know what I mean?
Will not change.
I don't think it's a situation last year like in L.A. where they said, you know what, we have these kids, we're going to play them. We know we're not going anywhere just yet. If they, happen to make the playoffs, that's great. If they don't, it's not a big deal. So I think they're kind of on that bubble of, are they a playoff team? Are they not a playoff team? I think that if they are a playoff team, just a lot goes well. They get a lot from the defense. Kessel doesn't have any issues not playing with a guy like Savard. Maybe they get more out of Jason Blake, some of the other, third and fourth line guys really, you know, they step up their play. So, you know, with Kadri, I think he'll at least be there for the first couple games. After that, I think it's up in the air.
All right, let's move over to Ottawa now and kind of get through these other teams a little bit more in depth. We've already kind of talked about the changeover with Heatley out. How do you see a guy like Mikhailik fitting in Ottawa? He had a, you know, pretty good start to his career out west, but you know, it's a big change for him coming all the way back to Ottawa. And, you know, new team, new surroundings, new coach.
But, you know, he's good for 25 goals at least, maybe more. He could be a first-line player, because I think he was more of a second-line player in San Jose. Mm-hmm. He'll get more, a chance to be on the first line. He's got offensive skills. I mean, he's a skater. He can shoot the puck. He put the puck in. You know, I think he's going to add a mix. I think what they're looking for, I mean, you lose Heatley, you lose 50 goals, basically, but between Mikhailik and Chichu, who will probably be on the second line, if they can get close to 50 between the two of them, it'll be kind of a wash for them. So I think they're looking at that. They're also looking at Kovalev, who's going to contribute. Kovalev will probably be – it could be on the first line. I mean, depending how they want to work it. I mean, with Alfredsson, this could be a first-line player. With Spezza, Kovalev might end up there at times.
So you think those two are definitely together still, and then it's just a matter of finding that additional winger?
More than likely. I think Corey Kluston, who did a pretty good job when he took over last year, I think that's really the reason I'm impressed with Ottawa this year, because I think they did finish strong. They had the kind of coach they've needed for the last couple of years, I think, and they haven't had since they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. Kluston got their attention, if not the respect of all guys who were demanding to get out of there.
Right.
And, you know, they look pretty good. And as I mentioned earlier, they got Pascal Leclerc at the trade deadline.
Yep.
And I think if he is healthy, he gives them the potential to solve the goaltending problems that have plagued them for the last couple of years. They haven't really had the answer. Emery gave them good goaltending in their run to the finals, but really goaltending has always been an issue in Ottawa. Leclerc is young enough that if he's healthy, he can be the answer for the next four or five years there at least. So I think that's important, and I think Ottawa is going to be a surprising team this year.
Yeah, they've always kind of been that Philadelphia of the North, right? Good defense some years, good offense some years, sometimes a little bit of both, but always lacking that one goalie that was going to be able to carry them all the way through to the playoffs, not just to the finals or whatever, but to actually, you know, take it home and bring home the cup for them.
Yeah, but I think with Leclerc, I mean, like you mentioned, if he stays healthy, that's a huge, huge if. Because I think he's maybe only had one season where he has managed to stay healthy. And it's... You know, if they lose him, that's going to be very, very problematic. But I think the other thing I do like about Ottawa now, not having Heatley in the mix, but having, you know, it looks like a more balanced, like, top two lines. That, you know, before, whenever it seemed they were struggling, if they had split up the Heatley-Spezza-Alfredsson line, they'd always have to go back to that line to try to get them to do something, and the depth just wasn't there. Now, at least, you know, like you said, does Mikhailik play the first line or the second line? Where does Chichu fit in? Where, you know, you can have Kovalev get in that mix too. So I think that, you know, regardless of who ends up on as the winger on that first line, you also have some nice depth on the second line, which I think they kind of lost.
Well, part of the reason was that, like, Mike Fisher had a pretty...
Yeah.
Poor season last year. He wasn't scoring there.
Exactly,
he went long stretches without scoring. So he needs to produce. He's you know, he's nominally a third line player, nominally a second line player. I mean, he can play either second or third line, but he should be producing more, and he could get more ice time with some of these new guys. So if you get guys like that producing, then you get, you know, like you said, it's a more balanced and deeper lineup. And I think they're probably a better team than they were last year, but maybe not as good a team as they were at the Stanley Cup. But you know, it's interesting you say about the injury. Leclerc, you can say that about a lot of teams, too. I mean,
well, yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah,
there's so many teams that
are... Sure. I mean, Gavrik with the Rangers, Simon Gagné with the Flyers. If these guys don't stay healthy, then we're in trouble. Sure.
Right, right.
But, I mean, you look
Pittsburgh, lose Sidney Crosby and Malkin for a long stretch. It's not going to be
too
pretty
but
there.
No, but I mean specifically with the goaltending.
Right.
Because is it Brian Elliott as their backup?
Yeah.
And he's kind of pretty much a rookie. I mean,
yeah.
That's throwing a lot of, you know, weight onto his shoulders. God forbid... You know, LeClaire gets hurt. I don't know, is Elliott a Steve Mason? I don't know that that's the case. So
Clouston knows him from Binghamton too. They've, you know, he had him there. So again, yeah, you want LeClaire to be there. He's your number one guy, the one you made the trade for. So I guess for Ottawa's sake, they better hope he stays healthy.
Well, he's starting out on, well, no pun intended, because I know he hurt his ankle last year, but, you know, he's starting out on the right foot.
Left ankle.
And I'm sure that they hope he stays on that right foot. All right, so we talked a little bit about Buffalo's management team, but we didn't really get into too many players specifically outside of those that left in terms of Spacek. But just taking a quick glance at their roster, there's not a whole lot to be frightened about if you're an opposing team outside of Vanek offensively.
Derek Roy.
Yeah. French. But, you know, team by team comparisons, you know, they seem to be a little light. Now, that being said, they've always kind of made their name and done well on the team game and speed and pressure. So they haven't needed, you know, a lot of superstar talent. But I think you said it best, Wes, when we were talking earlier, when you said that, you know, if out of all the teams, this was the team that probably needed to do something, and they really didn't do much, signing Montador, you know, to help the defense out. But
they're going to have Tim Connolly back
this
year. And, you know, he's a really good offensive player who never stays healthy.
Stays healthy.
But, you know, they gave him a contract extension last year, and I think there was kind of a gamble on their part, but I think they believe he's healthy. If he is, he is really a good creative offensive player.
Sure.
He's got legs. He's got, you know, good hands. Derek Roy is an offensive player. Vanek, obviously, is a very good offensive player.
Pominville and Paille. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, they have the potential to create some offense. Lindy Ruff gets a lot out of his team. That's really, really what defines Buffalo more than anything over the last decade. Whenever you've looked at them and said this is not a playoff team or this is, you know, barely a playoff team, they've kind of surprised people because of the work ethic. It's a lot what happens in Nashville.
Yeah, I was just going to say they're the Nashville of the East.
Correct. And there you go.
They never have a lot of, you know, flash to wow you with, but you can never sit there and say I count them out of the playoffs.
Right, but they may have, you know, 50 or, you know, maybe six, seven guys with at least 15 goals, you know. I mean, may not have the 30, 40 guy, but everybody
Well, you have
is.
Vanek. You will have that with Vanek.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, Vanek's going to do what he does, certainly. But they've always seemed to get contributions from all their lines, and at times, depending upon the personnel and what year it was, from the defense as well.
And they have Ryan Miller, which
No
slouch, yeah.
And motivated, certainly, in the first half.
Oh, without question. Again, this starting back to the Olympic theme. We've had several of these on each one of the divisional previews that we've done. And for obvious reasons. I mean, these players are you know, very much want to participate in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And they have to – and no one's a lock. You know, very few players are a lock, so – as the NHL superstars that they are, you know, they have to go out there and fight to make their, you know, their country's national team.
It's an ego thing for a lot of these guys too. You want to be considered to be among the best. You got to make that team.
Exactly.
And Miller is very driven.
And especially after the last time, I mean, how he didn't make the 2006 team was just stunning. I mean, he was the best American goaltender, I think, that year. And
he says he's over it. I don't believe him.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he was doing a lot of stuff for Team USA even before he became a pro. I mean, I remember he was invited out to the World Championships to sit the bench, but he went and he did it.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, I could see to be turned away where, you know, where's the respect? So, oh, well, we see what happened that year. So.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I think our preview times have run out. Do you guys have any other bits you want to lay on the Northeast Division?
The Northeast Division.
Did we get everybody?
Yeah.
I think we got everybody.
Montreal, Toronto, Boston, Buffalo, Ottawa.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, well, it seems as if we've run our course. We'll resume our regular podcasting schedule in terms of how the show is going to run, where we will touch on some significant topics going
Avery.
On. And yes, we'll go back to mentioning Sean Avery in every podcast, as I'm sure he will do something to warrant it. So we appreciate you, everybody, listening. and enjoy the start of the NHL season.